Hey everybody, it is Thursday and I just got back from Bora Bora, which is why we didn't do a show on Wednesday, and I'm all nice and tanned, and it's time for another Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net with my good buddy and the best referee of all time, if you ask himself, Tim Peel. What's up, Peelsy?
Bora Bora, you poor guy. Was it everything that it sounds like?
Everything and I've never seen water as blue, as crisp, as warm, as just calm, you know, swimming through the lagoons and the weather.
Just incredible.
And yeah, we got a little bit of rain, which was nice, and over the water bungalows. And it was special. It was just really nice. It was a nice.
How long were you down there for?
4 nights, 5 days.
Yeah.
Just enough to get away, get a little break, and get ready for a big run. I got a lot of traveling coming up. I'm going to Chicago for a little bit. I got to head up to Halifax, Nova Scotia, which I haven't been there in 30 years.
Oh, so my God. That's that. My neck of the woods. What are you doing in Halifax?
Yeah, we're doing a dinner gala up there with the Spittin' Chiclets, with the Spittin' Chiclets guys, and our good old friend Rod Black.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Rod's a good
so
guy.
We can raise some money up there in Halifax. I love the people of Halifax. I'm really looking forward to going up there. And, yeah, it's going to be good. So
best,
it's gonna be a good
best
week.
Seafood in the world, buddy. You're going to have the best seafood in the world in Halifax.
I'm going to soak it all in. There's no question I'm going to take in the good old food in Halifax. And I'm going to drink a little Whiskey in the Wild, thanks to our sponsors, whiskeyinthewild.com. Best whiskey, chocolate, and chocolate orange whiskey you'll ever have. Protected net guards. My boy Tim Peel, making sure all the kids are protected, playing the best game on earth, and Bet Online. We appreciate all your support, and obviously we're gonna have a lot of fun. We got a great guest coming on, a very good friend of mine, a Stanley Cup winner, a former number one draft choice of the National Hockey League, big old Eric Johnson. I love this guy. Do you know Eric? Have you ever had a chance to talk to Eric? And you know.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's just a nice person, and I'm excited to have him on. I've known, you know, I reffed him as up until 4 years ago, pretty much his entire career. So, just a super guy, and he's had a great career. He's played over 1,000 games now, JR, and so it should be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, I touched the cup for the first time at Eric Johnson's Stanley Cup party.
Where was this party?
It was right here in Del Mar at Del Mar Country Club, my country club. And I don't know why or what made him do. I'll ask him that question when he comes on. But it was quite unique and interesting. Why he did it there, but I just said screw it. You know, I was sitting right there.
Yeah.
Closest really I've really ever gotten to it, because it's been within my realm,
sure,
but never really went up to it until Eric Johnson's party. So I don't know if he knows that, but I touched it. Then I took some pictures with it, you know, at the Hall of Fame, and it was fantastic. It took me by surprise that Lanny McDonald and the Hall of Fame committee sent the cup to me at my dinner the night before the Hall of Fame induction, which really was a special treat. And we got to take pictures with it with all my family and my friends, and that was special. But seeing that's probably going to be the closest that I get to it, unless I choose to go work for an NHL team. Yeah.
Dave, before we get EJ on, did you see, it doesn't happen very often in the NHL, did you see Ekblad failed a drug test and got 20 games?
Whoa, I did not see that.
Yeah, he got 20 games, and it was something to do with the supplements he was taking, and I don't think Aaron Ekblad, we're definitely not accusing him of doing anything.
There's so many things nowadays.
You
know, there's so many things, and who knows what supplements or what kind of medications that people could be taking that are going to do a red flag. I'll be interested to kind of follow up on that story. But
That was kind of big, you know.
Yeah, and I don't really know the dynamics of all the you know, the drug testing and how much it happens. Maybe we'll ask EJ, which
he
just jumped on. So let's bring EJ on right now. Let's see where he is. I know he's in between games. I don't know how much he's gotten back acclimated to Colorado because he just got traded back. There he is. There's the big boy.
What's up, boys?
What's up, EJ?
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Are you kidding? It's a pleasure. And I know a lot's going on with you, buddy. There's a lot happening, obviously, coming back to Colorado. So listen, just right off the bat, are you happy? Are you really ecstatic? I know you sent me a little text the other day. I'm back in Colorado with a thumbs up. But it's got to be hard to be traded. But then again, you're going back to a place that you absolutely love playing. So what are the emotions, buddy?
Yeah, JR, I mean, it obviously wasn't really sure what was going to happen leading up to the deadline there. I had a lot of conversations with Danny Briere before that. I pretty much told them I would go to Colorado or I would be happy to stay in Philly. I really enjoyed my time there.
It's a great place, isn't it?
Danny B, Keith Jones, Dan Hilferty, the culture they're building there. I absolutely loved it there. I have so much respect for them and how they treat their players, and they're building it the right way there. So I loved my time there. But when I had the opportunity to go back to Denver right before the deadline, I had to take it. And, you know, Danny B didn't have to do that for me. But, you know, he's my old teammate. I played with him in 2014, 2015. So he did me a solid there. And obviously to go back to Colorado where, as you guys know, I spent most of my career, 13 years. So to have another chance at a cup is pretty exciting and special for me. And I'm super grateful to everybody that was able to bring me back.
Yeah, EJ, I saw some either interviews or a couple things on social media, and I was laughing. I'm like, there is nobody happier right now than this guy, because I know how much you love Colorado. I loved working in Colorado. It's one of the best places to live in the U.S., You guys had a tremendous team. My wife said to me before I came in, she goes, who do you have on today? I said, oh, I got Eric Johnson. She goes, EJ? She goes, I think we drank with him at OB Clark's one night. I said, babe, we probably did. I said, that's like 18 years ago. And I, you know, I've seen you when you first got in the league drafted by the Blues. And that's how obviously I got to know you. And I think a real testament to your work ethic and so on, you've played over 1,000 games. Mm-hmm. What is it, 17, 18 years now? That's a long time, buddy. How have you, other than a couple hiccups here and there and losing pretty much all your teeth by the looks of it, how have you stayed that long and not had any serious, serious injuries that kept you that long a time?
Yeah, Peelsy. I mean, funny story, my rookie year, I was 19 in 2007 in St. Louis, and I was at the famous OB Clark's, and I asked if I could buy this girl a drink, and she said, no, I'm Tim Fields' fiance. Her girlfriend at the time, whatever it was pretty funny, but I was a 19-year-old idiot. And
you have good taste in women, EJ. You have good taste in women.
Yeah, I was pretty embarrassed after that, but that's why Peelsy gave me so many penalties.
Yeah, right.
I'm just kidding. But no, obviously, you know, it's been a good career. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, as you know, both of you, you know, the careers, you snap your fingers and, mm-hmm. and it's over. And it seems like it's so long, but it's just a short snapshot of your life, right? So you really have to enjoy it. I've tried to enjoy the moment, and especially as I've gotten older here and into my almost 37 now. So, you know, every day I just treat it as a blessing and fortunate to still be playing this game and have fun every day when I go to the rink. And I've had a lot of great people support me along the way, and just grateful for everything, how everything's, you know, shook out. It's been a lot of ups and downs, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I feel so fortunate to have played as long as I had and the success I've had. And, you know, I'd sign up for it any day of the week if you told me I was a 10-year-old kid, I was going to have the career I had. So very blessed, very fortunate. And it's been a great ride.
I mean, there's so many places we can go with questions for you, man. I mean, you and I have been good buddies for a long time now, and I cherish it. I was just telling Peelsy, you know, I never won the cup, never had a, you know, got close to it, but the first time I ever touched it was at your Stanley Cup party here in Del Mar, California. And I was wondering, why did it come here to Del Mar, number one? And what, just give me, tell me your best stories about winning the cup and having the cup in the summer and stuff like that, and what made it come here. Because I'm really happy that you made it come here, because you gave me one of the best gifts I've ever had and being able to touch it and get close to it, which I appreciated.
Yeah, JR, absolutely. I mean, I think thinking back to when we first met, I want to say it was like late 2019, maybe, or something like that, maybe a little bit before that. And I'm playing behind the group at Del Mar Country Club. I tee off, JR's the group ahead of me, and he gets a hole in one.
Seven iron on the third hole.
And it was your fourth hole in one, and he's screaming and jumping around and calling in. Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, first time I met JR, obviously, you know, someone I looked up to in USA Hockey growing up. So to see you get that hole in one was pretty sweet, man. And I think just our relationship that has built since then, and, you know, you supported my career, and it was so cool you were able to come to the cup party in Del Mar there, man. And I think just the whole backstory to why I brought it there, I had a little extra time with it, which was nice. Shout out to Brennan McNicholas, who was kind of in charge of all that, our great Abs VP. And I started in Denver. I had a little like family and friends gathering with the cup, and then we flew down to Southern California and had a big party down there. JR was there, and it was cool. It was a beautiful night and lots of friends and family.
You almost didn't make it though. You almost didn't make it.
A little mechanical issue on the plane, unfortunately, but we managed to get there in the nick of time. And yeah, it was awesome. I think I saw JR in the mechanical bull too a few times. That was pretty funny. I think they greased that thing up too.
I was definitely getting thrown off that thing for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously a ton of great memories with the cup. And just to touch on that question, JR, I think it was the little moments for me the most where I was most appreciative. I think, you know, everyone saw it in public and when we were out and about, but I think the best moments were when we were just in the locker room, just the guys after the game, and you just bring the cup in and, you know, the beers and champagne are being thrown around and it's just us 20 guys, our staff, in a tight away locker room in Tampa Bay there. So that was the coolest moment for me, is right after taking it off the ice, going in the locker room, because it was that quiet moment that it was just us to enjoy it and we'd accomplish our ultimate goal. And that, I think for me, that was the best, just being in there. And then obviously the parade was super cool, almost a million people in Denver, and to share with them was special. But so many cool moments, but those are the ones that stand out.
I know you, and you don't do anything easy. When you go at it, you go full tilt. And I'm sure that summer was a full tilt summer. That must have been a hard season to get ready for in the gym, because I'm sure you didn't, you iced that body from the inside out in that party. No question about it. I'm sure that was a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely contemplated retirement after that summer. It was a rough one. But you know what, we had a short summer, but you know, we didn't have that much time to get out of shape with the party, and you know, we had to get right back into it, into camp, and you know, we managed to get ready. But it was a fun summer, and obviously to have a couple good rounds of golf with you, JR, was fun. And just a special summer, and hopefully we can do it again here.
EJ, what was it like for you when you got traded back last week, walking in the locker room and seeing Nate Dogg, Gerard, all these guys that you won a cup with? Was the smile as big on their face as it was on yours? Because it had to be a good feeling for you.
Yeah, Peelsy, it was super cool for me. I mean, it was kind of like a shit-eating grin on some of their faces. Like, what's this guy gonna do when he gets in here? Just kind of, I like to have fun and pull pranks and everything. But I know I was so happy to see them, and they were happy. And, you know, just to have their support, Nate and Kale and Gabe and Taser and all those guys. I mean, I know they were pushing for me to come back. So to have them want me back meant a lot. And, just to get back to Denver, where I spent so many great years, great fans. It's my, it's where I'll retire when I'm done. So it's home for me. And just to go back and have a chance at another cup. I mean, I know I'm not the same player I was, you know, even 5 years ago, but I still feel like I offer some value on it.
Sure. 100%.
For sure. I can play in a role and take some of the load off those top guys that, you know, they can take a break on the penalty kill here or there, and bring as much fun and enthusiasm and energy to the room as I can. And whatever role they want me to do, I'm going to do it. And just to get back there, see those guys in the locker room the first day after the deadline was pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. But it is a different locker room. You don't now. What is it like coming in? Because now Mikko Rantanen's not there. He was a monster part of that team. He brought in some real quality players, obviously bringing in Charlie Coyle, bringing in Brock Nelson. I mean, you guys got some serious change of the guard going in that. So what was it like coming in, having a stronger locker room, or do we not think a stronger locker room with the exiting of Mikko?
I think our team's very deep, JR. I don't think we've been this deep since we won the cup in 22. Our strength is down the middle is really impressive to me. When you can roll out McKinnon, Nelson, Coyle, Drury, and then, you know, you have Ross Colton that can play center, Parker Kelly can play center, and then our top four D are you know, some of the best in the world, especially our top pair, right? And our goaltending has been awesome since they revamped that. So, and then to top it off, I think Jared Bednar is one of the best coaches in the NHL. I don't think he gets enough respect for how much he's done for this team and this lineup. And it's just a really, really solid team. And of course, you know, big adjustment with Mikko going. That hurt the locker room for a little bit. You know, of course, Mikko was there 10 years and, mm-hmm. you know, some guys were best friends with him. So that's going to sting. But to get Marty Natchez and Jack Drury, those are big pickups for our team, mm-hmm. just the depth that you need in the playoffs. So I kind of felt like I was introducing myself to more guys and I was saying, good to see you again, too. Lots of new faces, but the staff's the same. You know, all the support staff and the coaches are the same. So, yeah, it was like I was in a coma for 2 years and I woke up and I was still on the app. It was really funny coming back. It felt
my next question, I'm going to come to that coma, but I'm going to let this one.
So tell me about Nate McKinnon, because I absolutely, you know, anytime I take my son to a game, I'm like, what, just watch this guy skate. We watch it on TV. He's just, what he can do at full speed, EJ, is remarkable. And him and I had a lot of fuck you contests on the ice. And as you know, he is very, very, very intense. And sometimes earlier on in his career, he'd come back to the bench and maybe be yelling at some of his teammates. And I think he's got a lot better than that. And that comes with maturity and being around. But I don't know him that well. One of the funniest times that I've ever really got to see him drop his armor down, or his whatever I'm trying to say is I was in Chicago and I'm stretching the hallway and Gabe Landeskog sees me and I've got it's not the red obnoxious MAGA hat. It's just a hat and it says MAGA on it. And Landeskog doesn't say anything. He goes in the dressing room and he must have said to the boys, "Hey, Peelsy's a Trump supporter. He's a MAGA guy." So we come out in the ice in Chicago and Nate comes right up to me. He goes, "Hey, I hear you're voting for Bernie Sanders." And I just started laughing. and it was kind of the first time I really saw him let down his guard. Is he as intense in the dressing room as he is on the ice? Like, tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, I think it's well documented how intense he is and his diet and all that. And the things that are kind of in public, but I don't think people see, well, they don't see, but they don't know how much work he puts into his game away from the rink with his body, his nutrition, his mental toughness, any edge he can get, he's trying to get it. And he really stops at nothing to be the best. And he drags you into the fight that way, because if the best player in the world and your best player on the Avs is doing all this, why should I not be doing that? Or why should someone else that. It just it raises everybody's level, and especially in practice. I mean, he is very, very intense, and you have to be on your game in practice and push yourself and be crisp and execute, because he's intense, and he expects a lot out of himself, and he expects a lot out of his teammates in return. And that's the guy you want on your team. I mean, he's 7 years younger than me, but I've learned a lot from him in my career. He's done a lot for me in my career. To be able to play with him for as long as I have, he had his 1,000th point the other night, which was really cool to be a part of. I was there for his first point in October of 2013, and a lot of points in between. So he's just so detailed in his preparation, his recovery, that everyone just sees the superstar, but there's so much more behind him that makes him so good. And it's a full-time job away from the game. And I bet you would ask him, I bet you'd say the hockey's the easy part. It's the stuff away to get yourself ready to play and to recover that takes the most time and effort. And then when he goes, he's just so talented and so in such good condition that his skills and his instincts and his talent take over. And it's been a privilege to play with him, and he's a great friend of mine, and awesome to be reunited.
He's always in the conversation as the best player in the world. You just referenced him as the best player in the world. When there's another guy, north of the border named Connor McDavid, that a lot of people say is the best player ever on two blades, most talented. Compare them together. I obviously you get to see McKinnon every day. You get to see him in practice. You get to see him in games. You get to see him do things that are just probably just blow your mind. But we've also seen guys at the speed of McDavid that does things that we have. Like, how similar are these two players? Is McKinnon is it a fair assessment to say McKinnon is a better player or more competitive player than Connor McDavid? I've always been, it's always been those two. Maybe Connor McDavid being maybe more of the people's choice, but you can't, it's arguably with McKinnon being the best player in the world. What's your assessment playing with McKinnon, playing against McDavid?
Yeah, JR. I mean, I feel like you can't really go wrong. Like, if Pielsey said McDavid and you said McKinnon, can you really, beat the other guy up over that opinion? I don't think you can. I mean, they're neck and neck, for most people. I mean, I'm obviously a great friend to Nate, and in my opinion, he is. I obviously have a ton of respect for Connor and how good of a player he is. He can embarrass you on a nightly basis, and he's so quick. I mean, I feel like he can weave in and out of you, and Nate kind of goes through you more.
That's scarier.
Nate's a bull. He's wider, and I just think both of those guys are so fun to watch. And like I said, if how can you even pick one or the other, and if someone was adamant one way or the other, you couldn't really disagree with them, or you
I
couldn't.
mean, you can just keep going. You can just keep going and say, what about Makar? You
Yeah,
can even put Cale
exactly.
Makar on that same conversation with both those guys. I mean, that's how good that kid is.
100%. I mean, you could go either way with all three of them, and of course I'm biased to Nate and Cale for that matter, but I think Nate's well on his way to another MVP, and Cale's probably well on his way to another Norris, or maybe a what is his second Norris. So I mean, all three of those guys, it's like they're right there, and
You
you
suck.
couldn't
You get
go
to
wrong.
watch them every game. You suck. You get to watch them every day, every practice, and you are the cagey vet, right? You're like the guy that you're the glue guy. You've always been a glue guy, right? You've been your game. I mean, if number one pick in the league. Your talent, precedes itself, but you're also one of those glue guys. And do you find that those, sorry, Peelsy, I'm taking more of your
No,
questions,
not at all.
but are those guys like you, where they're happy-go-lucky, where they're, you know, they play practical jokes, they have a different side to them, or are they always serious?
I think for me, I think those guys, they're very intense and they have their own quirks to their personality that make them who they are. But I think kind of like you said, you need people around them to kind of lighten them up and maybe not take themselves so seriously all the time. Kale's super serious. I love him to death. He's a great person, has a great heart. I mean, he's just one of my favorite humans. But I always like to have fun and poke fun with him because he's so intense, and I like to joke around with him. And but both those guys, you know, when the puck drops, the switch flips, and they know how to turn it on. And but they're just great people away from the ice, most importantly. Kale's a little bit more quiet, but you know, Nate and I have our banter, and it's a lot of fun. And just a pleasure to be able to play with, you know, two of maybe the best players to ever play.
What I know you know, it was difficult leaving Colorado and putting on that Flyers jersey. To me, I love the uniform. There's been so many great players that played there. But in between, you had a little stop at Buffalo. And JR and I have talked a lot about Buffalo this year. What is wrong with that organization? What, like, I'm not asking you to be the GM or, you know, shit on Kevin Adams, because Kevin's a nice guy and so on. But they just, they're just not getting anywhere. And now they trade Cousins for an injured, for Josh Norris, who's a good player, but he's got two or three shoulder surgeries. Those Buffalo fans deserve better. They're, as you know, they're tremendous fans. What's going on in Buffalo, EJ?
Yeah. I mean, Peelzy, it's a, as you know, a great market, great fan base. Kevin Adams is a nice man. He treated me with a lot of respect. I don't have a bad word to say about him. I think he cares. I think he's done a lot of good things. I mean, they're in a tough spot, right? I mean, it's hard to get big name free agents to go there. A lot of guys have Buffalo on their no trade list. So what he's done, locking up a lot of his young talent to those big deals early on in those guys' career, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You have to do it to show other people that these guys are committed to playing in Buffalo and playing for this organization. But at the same time, are you rewarding those guys maybe too early with that big money who haven't done enough in the league to maybe warrant it? They're great players, awesome people. Really enjoyed playing with a lot of those guys. It's just a tough spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it a tough spot? I have friends that live there still after they retired, and because they love being in Buffalo, they love living there. I mean, yes, it's cold. Yes, it snows. They have a great fan base, but why do players have no trade clauses to Buffalo?
Well, right now, because they haven't made the playoffs in, what is it, 14 years?
Why? You've been on championship teams. You've been in locker rooms that literally have real chemistry, and you can feel it. Does Buffalo not have a warm chemistry like a Colorado does? Or like, you know, like, it, to me, and this is what I, and it was a great question by Peelzy. It's almost like they don't have a personality. They don't have a when you have to build, what's the word we always say?
Identity.
An identity, yes. Or there's something missing. And being there, what is it? What is missing?
I think it's hard for me to say because, you know, in Colorado, when we had Jerome Iginla and Francois Beauchemin, they signed to our team, and you know, we finished dead last in 2017, and these guys are probably like, these kids are never going to win. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think it takes time for your team to grow and evolve, and their core in Buffalo is still really young and learning how to win. And sometimes you have to go through that process of losing to learn how to win. And I don't think it's fair to judge Buffalo in the whole 14-year capsule. I think you just have to judge it in the last, when did Kevin Adams take over, 2020 or 2021? So there's still a little runway left there, right? But with the talent they have, I'm a little surprised they didn't take that next step this season. I saw it last season, and we were getting there. It was getting close. But you just, it's really tough to say. I don't know exactly
I can almost read your, like, I know you, bro. One thing I know about you is you're a proud guy. You never want to throw anybody under the bus. You never want to say anything bad about anybody. I know you. There is something holding you back, and I know I can see it. It doesn't seem like there's leadership in that room. No one's going to take that leadership role and say, this is what we're doing. This is how we're playing, and get in front of everybody's face and be like, no, we're not going to play this. We're going to play with an identity. We have to build a culture in this room. And for me, being an outsider, and maybe you don't want to say it, that there's nobody in there that knows how to build a culture, and everybody's still guessing and wondering whether they're going to win and hoping they're going to win, rather than saying, fuck this shit, man. Like, well, let's just go play.
I'm going to interrupt here because we don't want to, you know, EJ's not going to bury them. And I understand that, but I think you're absolutely bang on, JR. We see it even here in St. Louis, and EJ, with Steiner coming in and being the assistant GM to Army, learning from him for a couple of years. Steiner wants to bring back that culture that was in St. Louis, where people are proud to play here. They want to play here. They respect the players that played before them here. And you know that when you were here, the number of alumni that stayed here and retired here. I'm going to say it. I like Kevin. I just think he's the wrong man for that job. So, but we'll move on.
I do want to touch, you know, on that a little bit more. You know, I played with a majority of that team last year, and then they got Bowen Byram right when I left. So He's a guy that came from a championship culture and knows what it takes. And I know he cares like hell, and it's killing him to go through that right now, and is trying to bring some of that, you know, secret sauce from Colorado or whatever it is to Buffalo. And, you know, I have a lot of time for Rasmus Dahlin. I know he cares a lot. Mm-hmm. He's a good leader who's still learning. But, you know, at the end of the day, the players have to do it. And you drive the bus, and you have to take control of your career. And, you know, it's just tough there right now, because I feel like it snowballs, and it's almost like you can't stop the momentum. You know what I mean? And I think those guys right now who have been there only for a couple of years shouldn't be the ones feeling the weight of missing the playoffs for 14 years. You know, they haven't been on the team for 14 years. You know what I'm saying? So I think it just has snowballed, and it's just tough to stop that. And
yeah, I'm sure they're frustrated as hell too.
But I'm going to give you two examples. One was, and I forget who it was, a year or two ago from the Blues, ran into Vasilevsky, and the Tampa players, there was five of them on the ice. It was like a pack of wolves, and they just attacked whoever it was in the corner. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then on the other hand, because they're standing up for Vasilevsky, then on the other hand, you got Tage Thompson laid out this year. And everyone's, it's like their gloves, like when we were growing up and we had our mittens with a string around them, and you couldn't lose your mittens. And everyone's got their gloves on, and there's Tage Thompson. That's a culture problem. You're right. You can't blame the guys that have been there 3-4 years, but whether you've been there for 3 days or 3 months or 3 years, somebody's got to go after whoever that was that hit Tage Thompson. It's a culture problem there, and I don't know how they get around it, but JR, I'll let you go.
No, I agree, and you know that's one of the reasons why I love EJ. He's just he'll tell it, but he's as respectful as ever. But who are the guys, like, you came in number one choice? Who are the guys that took you under your wing? That the ones that gave you the most learning as you're getting older? Because you came into a pretty awesome team.
Yeah, great people, right? I mean, I had wonderful older veterans that were hard on me, but really good to me. Your buddy Keith Kachuk, mm-hmm. the one that really was very good to me. Yeah. Big Walt is a great human being, and you know, I'm so proud to see his two sons doing as well as they are. They were 6 or 7 years old, running around our locker room playing mini sticks when I was a rookie. And Walt had me over to his house a bunch for dinner, and I had obviously Paul Kariya, Doug Waite, Jay McKee was my first D partner. He was awesome.
Yeah, Big Jay.
I mean, they were really good to me and taught me a lot of things. And I was just a 19-year-old kid who didn't know much, really. So you think you know it all, but you really know nothing at that age. And you know, a lot of pressure coming into the league as a first pick and a defenseman. So those guys helped me out along the way, even though I'm sure they wanted to slap me a few times. But really, really good guys, and I love my time in St. Louis. It's a great city, and underrated city to live in, and great sports town.
What, how was your relationship? I like him, but I never played for him, but we got along on and off the ice. How was your relationship with Torts this year and last year?
He's honestly awesome. I think he gets a bad rap around the league, honestly. He is fiery and intense, as everybody knows, but he is a great human being who cares about his players. And, he really cares about your family and how you're doing. And I have all the time in the world for Torts. He was so good to me, so transparent, so upfront. Just treated me with so much respect. And in turn, I had so much fun waking up and going to the rink in Philly every day. I was so happy there every single day, and I was scratched half the year. So not many guys are happy about being scratched, right? But that was my role in Philly, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was just an extra D when they needed me, helped the young guys out. And I had an absolute blast there. The fans are unbelievable. The city's great. Great food.
Amazing.
The weather was good. The travel was awesome. The facilities are first class. Everything about what they're doing there in Philly is fantastic.
Do you think they're close? Do you think they're close?
So, JR, I think their rebuild is really just starting, right? I mean, this is Danny and Jonesy's second year going at it. Mm-hmm. They have something like 3 firsts this year, 3 seconds, crazy amount of picks. They have Michkov coming. They have a lot of great young talent in the pipeline. And, I mean, contending, I'd say I think they're probably 5 years. Can they make the playoffs before that? Yeah, I think they do. I think they can. But they're doing it the right way. They have the right culture there. It feels they know what they're doing, and it's a special place to go play. Mm-hmm. And the history of the organization, you just feel that when you put on the Flyers jersey. Mm-hmm. And Torts is a huge part of that for sure. But they were great to me. They, one of the best places I've played. I would still go back in the summer. Yeah. And visit people there. I mean, I made friends for life, just awesome people, awesome organization. And I love playing there.
Well, yeah, I played there too. And I have the same sentiment. I say the same things. And everybody asks me what if there's one of the things that I would have done if I can go back and change my career is I would have told Clarkie, you know, shove your trade, you know, where the sun doesn't shine. I'm not letting you trade me to LA. I'm staying in Philly. I would have stayed in Philly the rest of my career back in 2005 if I could go back. It was a huge mistake for me. But I agree with you with Danny and Jonesy. Those guys are very smart hockey people, and I hope and pray that they get back to playoffs quicker, because they almost made it last year if it wasn't for a shitty ending to the season. But I'm really happy that you like Philly, because it has a very special, special place in my heart for sure.
Well, and Brad Shaw, as you know, EJ is one of the best guys ever. Shawzy's one of the salt of the earth, good human beings. And I noticed, though, and you probably had to chuckle, did you notice when Joel Farabee kind of gave Torts a little bit of a shot? Did you see that clip?
I did, yeah.
JR Farabee's put out for the last minute of play for Calgary after he gets traded, and they win the game. And he basically said, yeah, it was nice to be able to be put in this position, because my old team or my previous coach didn't have the confidence in him. So he's not for everybody, right? He's not for everybody.
No, definitely.
How's his relationship? Because we've seen it. How's Mishkov doing underneath Torts?
I think it's been an adjustment. I mean, you have to think what this kid has done in the last year. He left Russia. He doesn't speak English. He's never played on the North American ice sheet, right? And it's the best league in the world, and it'll eat you up and spit you out if you're not ready to play every night. And I think he's exceeded expectations. I think the organization would tell you that too. And what he's done in his rookie year is impressive. He cares, he's intense, and he wants to win and be better. But there's learning experiences. You know, he's had, you know, his ups and downs and things that Torts has had to tell him to do and not do. So it's an adjustment period, but I mean, he's on pace for what, over 60 points or something like that as a rookie who doesn't speak the language. You know what I mean?
Does he have an interpreter with him all the time? Does he have an interpreter with him all the time?
Yeah, that happened. I think right around Thanksgiving, we had an interpreter travel full time, which is awesome for him. You know, it's imagine not understanding what the coach is trying to tell you. It's super difficult. But Torts is good for him. He's taught him a lot of lessons about being a pro and how to play the right way. And he's a guy you want when you're young like that, because you're going to learn the details of the game and how to play on the other side of the puck early in your career. And a lot of guys that I've talked to said, I wish I had Torts when I was younger. Chris Linen, for example, he's probably one of our best D all year. Great, really good player. I can't believe teams weren't lining up for him at the deadline. Just a beast and an awesome, awesome guy, awesome player. And he said, I wish I had Torts as a rookie. And, you know, he makes you better. He pushes you. But it's because he cares, and he's trying to get the best out of you. He's awesome, though. I love Torts. He did a lot.
How do you play with a guy that you can't communicate with? Like, how do you play with a guy? Like, how does that happen? What do his teammates, like, how does that happen? Because there's a lot of talking on the ice. Hey, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. You know, what do guys do there?
Well, he's gotten a lot better too, Peelsy. He's starting to grasp the language. I think he understands it more than he can speak it. But, you know, the universal language is hockey, right? So he knows how to do that. And that's the most important. And I think he's learning the nuances and you know, details of the game that's helping him. But thankfully, we've had some Russian players on our team that can kind of serve as translators or whatever during the game. So that's helped. But it's definitely difficult, but it's not the first time. And hopefully he gets more of a grasp on the language this summer. But it's a great start to the Flyer rebuild, though. I mean, it's to have him as a centerpiece. Important, and they've got a bunch of great kids coming and tons of picks and good players that are there right now. So I see that team and organization only on the upswing here.
So we talked after your Stanley Cup party, and you were contemplating hanging him up 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and you didn't. And you said, I'm going to play one more. And then he played one more. What's on Eric Johnson's mind. Is this the last hurrah? Is this your last kick at the Stanley can this year? If you win it, is it over? If you don't win it, I mean, I know, you know, you're in and out of the lineup. Obviously the body's getting beat up. You're not the youngin' anymore. What's EJ's mind looking forward?
Yeah, JR, I feel like my body feels really good. My mind is fresh and I'm happy and I'm enjoying playing. I'm enjoying coming to the rink every day. And I don't know. I think it'll depend. I mean, thankfully, I've had no injuries this year. I've been fresh, knock on wood. And we'll see what happens. I mean, if we win it again, maybe I'll keep playing. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I'm not trying to look too far ahead or behind. Just want to stay in the moment and just enjoy this journey with Colorado again and push for the playoffs and see what happens. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm enjoying myself right now, and that's kind of where I'm at. And we'll think about those things later, maybe at Del Mar.
Come to me. We'll talk about it when the season's over.
Were you surprised, you know, you're in Philly, and it doesn't happen very often where a team changes their goalies out during the season. Were you surprised to see that in Colorado, where they got Wedgwood and Blackwood, and because that just doesn't happen very often?
Yeah, I think Pielsey, my thought on it is your team has to be very confident in front of your goalie. If you're not confident in front of your goalie, I think you're playing different. You know what I mean? I think
for sure
you don't have that confidence. It just kind of is a trickle down effect to the rest of the team. I don't know this. The guys haven't told me this, but it sort of looked like from afar that that was kind of an issue. And Chris did it. I mean, what an amazing job he did reshaping that, getting Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood in there. They've been awesome for us. They're super good people, personable. Mm-hmm. The guys love playing in front of them, and I think that matters. So to have that 1-2 tandem going down the stretch here is important, and to lock Blackwood up for as long as we did and in the prime of his career, I think is huge for the future of the Avs.
Well, buddy, you seem happy. I love it. And I appreciate you jumping on with us. You've seen some great times in the NHL, man. And I am hoping that you have that chance to win that cup again. You're in the great place, and I can tell how happy that you are and how fortunate that you are to be back there again. And I kind of want you to bring a Stanley Cup back here to Del Mar, but I more importantly want to travel to go to one of your Stanley Cup parties. So it's not right in my backyard. So go do it.
You're going to have to come to Denver, buddy. You're going to come to
Denver. I will come to Denver and we'll play some golf up there, because that's great golf up there. But
did you keep your house in Denver?
Yes, I did. We spend the off season there. We're going to retire there, and
perfect.
Got my golf courses there that I love, that I play at. And
that's
got
to be such a weird feeling, man. It's got to be such a weird feeling, you know, just literally coming back and you have your home and you just step in. It's like almost like never left. It's got to be.
It was awesome. Yeah. That's what Nolan Pratt, our D coach, told me after my first game back on Monday. It was like, felt like you never left, man. Like,
yeah. Most guys are staying in hotels or looking for a place to live or that transition. Yeah. It's like tuck right back in, like you never left.
It just feels right. It's awesome to be back. I love the Avs. I love the Avs fans. I love the organization from top to bottom, and I'm just grateful to be back and just excited for the journey.
Like I said earlier, you are one of those glue guys. So you fit. You just roll right in there, and literally, I know you. You'll act like you've never been gone a day, and everybody's gonna love it. And that's what makes you so great, man. And I wish you all the best. I love that you came on. Thanks for spending 45, 50 minutes with us. You're a special guy, man. I love you to death. I really do.
Yep. Anything for you, JR. You're my man, and I appreciate you, buddy. And Pielsey, good to catch up with you.
It's been a
while. But
great to see you. And I wish you all the best the rest of the year. I think you're in Calgary tomorrow night. And there's a reason that teams bring one last thing. There's a reason, JR, that teams bring players back, especially a guy that's not going to be in the lineup every night, but it's because he's well respected, he's well liked, he's a team guy, and you epitomize that, and that's why you've played over 1,000 games. So congratulations on a tremendous career, buddy. I hope it keeps going, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, boys. See you in the tea, buddy.
See you, man.
Love you.
That was awesome, bud. He's a great guy.
He's just a great guy. He is the type of guy that you want to sit next to in the locker room.
100%. It's not all about him. Team guy, good guy, not selfish.
He's tough. He can hit. He's tough. He's mean. Stick up for his teammates. I saw a video of him going after Ronaldo. The guy who played for Phoenix. It was
Zach Ronaldo.
Zach was tough.
Yeah.
And he made a big hit on somebody. And there goes EJ right after Ronaldo and beats the tar out of him.
Yeah. You know,
I love that.
Yeah. No, it's he's had a great career, man. Like, he's been in the league 17 years. You don't survive in the NHL for 17 years and play over 1,000 games, as you know, if you're not a player. And proud of him. And it's going to be fun to watch. I'm ready for the playoffs. We need the playoffs, buddy. Yep.
I'm excited to watch this team because of what he said. He said that this team is deeper than he's ever seen it.
Well, and you know what? I thought that was a good point he made because we know how good Rantanen is, right? And Mikko's just a tremendous player. But I think he's right. I think they might be a better team without him, with those additions.
Yeah.
And
listen, it's known that you build down the middle, right?
Right.
Some of the best teams are built down the middle. Boston 100%. Bruins, Chicago Blackhawks, LA Kings, Pittsburgh Penguins, right? These teams build right down the middle and then have strong goaltending.
Coyle, Nelson, Natchez, Drury. Those are four freaking good players, man.
Wow.
Those are like... They're unbelievable. So this is going to be fun to watch. And I didn't want to say too much, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, Blackwood and Wedgwood.
Yep.
Can they take that team to the cup? Let's see. Right.
Yeah. Are the Wood brothers going to stop that goal. I will say this, that Natchez is a sneaky, really good hockey player.
Really good.
Like, really good. I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb here and say, you know what? There really isn't too much of a drop-off from Rantanen to Natchez.
No.
Which is saying something for that trade.
Well, that trade sucked for Carolina, okay?
It really did.
And I'm shocked. Well, I guess I'm not shocked because the GM there, Talusi, or however you pronounce his name, like to make a trade like that and give up such a good young player and make Natchez not have a signed trade, and then you lose Rantanen. I'm sorry, but there's not many GMs that would have made that deal. And I think that was a rookie mistake on his behalf, and he got bad advice from somebody because that did not work out well for Carolina.
No.
And, so
definitely not. Hey, let's talk real quick and trade. And obviously I want to go back to one of my old teams because I really liked the move that they made. And that was, and I don't know, I don't think we talked about it because we whether we did a show or not since Seth Jones got traded from Chicago Blackhawks down to Florida. Not only is that great for Florida, but the players, what they got back in return for the Hawks, that McKnight is a damn good goaltender.
Yeah, he is.
And that's what they need. They need a solid goaltender, and they got a first round pick out of a guy who I think was their best asset. It was their best asset. I mean, Seth Jones did not want to be in Chicago anymore.
No.
You can see it in his interviews. You can see it in his body language. You can see it in the way that he played. I mean, he's a very, very good hockey player. He's got a lot of upside still. but he wasn't giving it his all in Chicago. And, you know, someplace else, he's going to do a lot of good things. I thought that was a great trade for Chicago. I don't know how you felt.
I think it was a great trade for both teams. You know what I mean? I think
I do. Yeah, exactly.
It was a great trade for Florida. If you're Florida, you're going, we're getting a 6'4", 6'5", maybe 6 defenseman, good skater, good puck handler.
And he's going to be excited to play again.
I saw those same interviews, and we knew the time was ticking on his time in Chicago. I can't blame him. He's been in the league a long time, played in Columbus before, hadn't played a lot of playoff games. Now he's in Chicago. It's like, oh, like what's going on in my career? Too good of a player. He's going to add a lot to Florida's back end. And Spencer Knight, I saw him the other night when he won in Chicago. He was pumped to be there. His interview was incredible. Like
he's
said, they got a first round pick back. Chicago is 3, 4, 5, probably 5 years away from competing. I think it was a good move by both
great
clubs.
Great move. And you know, that it's wild because Seth Jones now goes to Florida and out of nowhere, Ekblad gets banged with a 20-game substance abuse sentence of some sort. And he failed a drug test. I don't know what this is, but.
Well, he actually came out, and I'm glad he came out, because the first thing that everybody in the world thinks about when they hear substance abuse is he's doing drugs that he shouldn't be doing. And I'm talking cocaine, marijuana, things like that. But this was supplements that he was taking. He came out and said, it was the supplements I was taking. And in fairness to him, I take supplements, and I don't know what half of them are. Now it's their job, and it's the trainer's job to make sure. So the onus is on Ekblad, and he's not blaming anybody else. I screwed up and took something that I shouldn't. But
and I know Aaron. He's not that type of
player. No,
he's not that type of person.
No.
So this is one of those unfortunate situations. But again, the fact that Seth Jones is down there, it could not have worked out better for the Florida Panthers, especially getting Brad Marchand. Are you like, what? What? Like, who saw that coming?
Listen, we called it, you and you agreed with me back when Jim Montgomery was released from the Bruins. And I was very vocal about it. I said, Jim Montgomery is not the problem here. The roster is the problem here. And Sweeney and Cam Neely, who I respect a lot, I'm sorry, this roster was not built to win this year. And here they get rid of Trent Frederick. They sent Trent to Edmonton. Good for him. Good St. Louis boy. They get rid of Charlie Coyle. They get rid of Marchand. Now this team is on a rebuild. If I'm Charlie
McAvoy, they are really on a rebuild now. Boston fans are calling for Sweeney to resign.
If I'm Charlie McAvoy, I'm not very happy today, buddy. Right? You know.
Yeah, way to go, Swayman. You got some big shoes to fill with that contract that you wanted, because you got to have a lot of work coming up, coming your way.
Hey, one more question before we leave. And they're talking that Colorado-Dallas will probably meet in the first round. Okay? To me, that should be a conference finals. How come we don't go back to the 1-8 seeding? Like, what is the – nobody can really give me the rationale behind that. Do you know why?
I don't like the system. I don't like the playoff, the wild card teams. You know, I know they want to get three from each conference, make sure they get three from each division in there. I get it. But, you know, do people really care about divisions? Do the fans really care about divisions? They want to see the best teams, and they want to see the best teams in order.
100%.
I really do believe they should go back to the conference one through eight, and one plays eight, and then they reseed again.
Exactly.
And because then you're more rewarded for your play and your schedule and your season and your wins and all that stuff.
Well, there's a better chance you're going to have best on best. Like, I can't tell you how many years Sid and Ovi met in the first round of the playoffs, and either Sid was going home or Ovi was going home. Well, that sucked.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, nobody wants to see either of those teams go out in the first round, Dallas or Colorado, right? So
no. And what if one of them goes out in the first round? Does the coach go to the GM? Well, we didn't have a very good year. He's like, really? We had a great year. We just got beat by a phenomenal hockey team that we probably should have met in the conference finals.
Yeah, it's a good point. So note to the National Hockey League, go back to conference 1 through 8. Let's go. Let's do it. Well, good show. Good show, big boy. I appreciate having our guy EJ on, Eric Johnson. What a great guy. Great questions by you, of course. Thanks to WhiskeyInTheWild.com. Whiskey in the Wild for the best chocolate whiskey of all time. The protected neck guards that our boy Peelsy helps all our kids stay protected while playing the best game on earth, and then Bet Online. I'm going to have to bet that the NHL probably doesn't go back to that, but we can.
Exactly.
We can talk about it. Great job today, Peelsy.
You too, buddy.
All right. We'll see everybody next week right here on nofilter.net. And it's another episode of Snipes and Stripes. Thanks for joining. See you next week.